Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 35 degrees under mostly cloudy skies. Today is Thursday, February 16th, 2012, Elizabeth Paratovich Day. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. The Sitka Assembly last night advanced a plan to raise the cap on sales taxes. Right now, Sitkans only pay sales tax on the first $1,000 of any purchase. The new cap will be set at $1,500 and would go into effect earlier than originally planned. But it won't apply to reservations people have already booked for charter fishing and other big-ticket tours. In its current form, the ordinance will move the tax cap to $1,500 on July 1st. It's a far cry from the $5,000 proposed cap, an amount that was roundly criticized on Tuesday night by business owners. The other big criticism of the plan was the July 1st effective date. Charter owners and officials from Allen Marine argued that putting the change smack in the middle of the tourism season complicates reservations that have already been booked. With many customers' prices set in stone, businesses said the additional tax would come out of their profit margin. The Assembly toyed with moving the date to September or October, but Mim McConnell said delaying the hike would defeat the purpose of raising the cap in the first place.
The city needs to raise revenue, and we need to raise it now, not next fall, not January 1st. We need to be raising it as soon as possible. And I think that it's irresponsible of us to not take advantage of that this summer.
So July 1st stayed on the books with a compromise. Reservations made before April 1st would be grandfathered in. Assemblymember Tor Christensen says reservation-based sales are different than other vendors in town.
They've already sold it. It's already, the price is set, they've sold it, they've taken a deposit, whereas other vendors are, that's the sale is all taking place on that date. So I think there's a fundamental difference there. In the sense, what we would be doing is taxing something on the new rate on a sale that was taken on the old date, and I don't think that's right.
The grandfather clause won approval from the Assembly on a 4-2 vote. Terry Blake and Cheryl Westover opposed the change. Assembly members had more questions and more changes to the tax cap ordinance. They agreed that families booking a trip together should be considered a single sale. They rejected a plan to increase the cap incrementally over the next several years. In the end, Terry Blake was the lone vote against the ordinance. Earlier in the debate, he said he was concerned about the effect on merchants.
I'm very pleased that we're making accommodations for the fishing industry and their charters. And I think we worked hard at the table last night. But it seems a bit capricious to me to make accommodations for this industry and not our local businesses.
Owners of some businesses, including the Sitka Rose Gallery and Stereo North, said on Tuesday night that the tax cap hike will hurt sales. Because the measure underwent substantial changes last night, it will take two more readings before becoming law. The same goes for changes to the senior citizen sales tax exemption made on Tuesday night. You can read about all the tax changes on our website, kcaw.org. Outside of sales taxes, the Assembly also advanced some changes to the city's fish box tax. That tax requires charter operators to pay $10 per fish box, with the money going to the city's Harbor Department, General Fund, and for fish enhancement. As KCAW's Ed Ronco reports, how much money goes to each area could change. And some on the Assembly are suggesting the fish box tax could go away entirely.
The original plan was to take all of the fish box money away from fisheries enhancement programs like hatcheries. Aaron Long proposed the fish box tax in 2006, collected signatures, and campaigned for its passage. She's in California right now, but heard about the proposal to take the money away from fisheries enhancement. Long says that would defeat the purpose of the tax. In an interview before Wednesday night's meeting, she said she would try to repeal the tax if the Assembly eliminated the hatchery fund.
I will personally go out and go with all the charter people and get signatures again to get this on the ballot, just to have the whole tax exempt. Just no more fish box tax whatsoever.
She might not have to fight that battle. After hearing public testimony, Mayor Cheryl Westover changed her proposal. It now calls for giving 20% of the fish box tax money to hatcheries. That's down from the current 30%, but those in favor of using the tax to support hatcheries say it's better than zero.
We're not here as the Sitka Sound Science Center asking for our fisheries enhancement program, but for all fisheries enhancement programs.
Nancy LeClaire Davidson is on the board of the Science Center, which runs a small hatchery. About 17% of the hatchery budget comes from the fish box tax.
We got $33,000 from this fish box tax, and that makes a big difference in a small budget and a small difference in a big budget.
The money, she says, is important to help fledgling programs get off the ground. Assemblymember Pete Esquiro ran the much larger Northern Southeast Aquaculture Association for 30 years. NSARA, as it's known, has three hatcheries and other aquaculture programs. Esquiro cited his background and asked LeClaire Davidson and fellow board member Scott Harris whether they were looking at the fish box tax as a permanent source of money. Harris says they have no plans to use the tax money indefinitely and have a plan for self-sufficiency. Westover says she wanted to move extra fish box tax money away from hatcheries and into the harbors because of new regulations that require fish waste to be disposed of far from shore. Paying a company to haul the waste from city fish cleaning stations has cost $40,000, Westover said. But Assemblymember Tor Christensen argued that keeping some of the money in enhancement makes it more palatable to the charter customers who end up paying it.
Frankly, they don't care about our harbors, but they care a lot about the fish that they're coming to catch. So I think it makes it a much easier pill to swallow for them.
Teresa Weiser, who runs Alaska Premier Charters in the Wild Strawberry Lodge in Sitka, agreed with Christensen, although she said she'd like to see the tax disappear altogether. But if it does continue to exist, she likes the idea of some of it going for enhancement and harbors.
Well, it would certainly make me happy to see more of it going towards the Harbor Fund to facilitate, you know, a need there if it's got to go somewhere. But I still like the idea of something going to the hatchery because, like Thor said, being able to tell our people, you know, because the first thing we get asked is, what is this fund used for? You know, why are you collecting it?
Westover said during the debate that she's not a fan of the tax, didn't vote for it when the citizens approved it in 2006, and she says she would even entertain the idea of eliminating it entirely. Christensen said it would be bad form for the assembly to do that.
I'm really hesitant to say something like get rid of it, mainly because it was a vote. It was not a assembly move. If it had been an assembly move, that'd be very different.
Terry Blake asked what it would take to get a tax repeal question on the fall ballot. That would take a resolution of the assembly or a petition. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
Legislation allowing goey duck farming to expand north and west is moving in the state Senate. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
The measure would allow the large, valuable clams to be grown north of their natural realm. That ends around Juneau. It would permit goey duck farms in Yakutat, Prince William Sound, Kodiak, and other locations. Kachemak Bay is exempt because it's been designated a critical habitat area.
House Bill 60 works on trying to promote economic development around the coast of Alaska.
Homer Republican Representative Paul Seaton, the main sponsor, described the measure to the Senate Natural Resources Committee on Monday.
It is very difficult to get a new economic base in many coastal towns, especially those that will not conflict in time with salmon and herring fishing.
A version of the bill introduced 5 years ago raised concerns among some biologists and lawmakers. They worried the large clams could become an invasive species, competing with other shellfish and ocean life. But Seaton says goey ducks will not spread outside farm areas.
And the probability is that since the water has to be warmer before they will spawn, that they'll be just like oysters up in Kachemak Bay, where they never reach a temperature to spawn. And so we're not talking about a proliferation of the species.
The stationary filter feeders are farmed in subtidal areas. Larvae from a hatchery in Seward are planted in the ocean floor and feed on their own. They need about 7 years to mature and could take longer in colder waters. Southeast farmers recently began selling goey ducks on the open market. They're taking advantage of prices of more than $20 a pound. Larger farms raise and sell goey ducks in British Columbia and Washington State. Paul Foos of Sea Farms Alaska wants the same thing to happen along the Gulf.
If you pass this, it's not going to be a wasted effort. We would go immediately to a research permit, go in and get some in the ground and see how they grow mortalities and things like that. We don't have any experience with it yet, but they're growing in Resurrection Bay water right now from the hatchery. That's what's the water that's taken in to grow them in. So I don't see any reason why that shouldn't work.
Seaton's bill made it out of the House last year, but was not heard in the Senate until Monday's meeting. After hearing about the bill, the Resources Panel moved it on to the Chamber's Finance Committee. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
The state would establish a long-term funding source for student aid based on merit or financial need under a bill being considered by the Senate Finance Committee. The committee reworked a version of Governor Sean Parnell's plan that would have established a special fund for the Alaska Performance Scholarship Program. Parnell has touted merit scholarships for high school graduates as a way to help transform the public education system. Last year, the legislature approved $400 million as an endowment for student scholarships, but a bill establishing a fund stalled in the Senate. The reworked bill calls for one-third of the money available each year to go for Alaska Advantage grants, which help students with financial needs, and for two-thirds to go to scholarships. The bill was held Wednesday for further consideration. Some state lawmakers have spent much of the week in Washington, D.C., trying to convince officials to open up the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to oil drilling. The Alaskans will report back today on their efforts. House Speaker Mike Chenault and State Representatives Anna Faircloth, Reggie Jewell, and Lance Pruitt will speak during a news conference in Juneau at 3:30 this afternoon in the Speaker's Chamber at the Capitol in Juneau. So in weather forecast today for Sitka and Port Alexander, calls for mostly cloudy skies, chance of rain, highs around 42, light winds becoming southeast 10 to 15 miles per hour. This is KCAW, Sitka.